This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
You know us so well, better than we know ourselves. Before we even knew that we needed a way made for us, you went ahead and made that way. You go before us. You surround us. Your banner over us is love. You hem us behind and beside and underneath and before us. You surround us. God, love you, Lord. And God, I pray this morning. I'm asking you, God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give us spiritual wisdom and insight so that we can grow in our knowledge of you, God. I pray today here at Montbold Christian Fellowship, Lord, that our hearts will be flooded with light so that we can understand the confident hope that you have given to us, the people you have called, your holy people. Thank you, Father. Thank you that your word is true. It is alive. It is sharp, and I pray, God, this morning that it would divide between our soul and spirit, and we would be left with the truth, God. Amen. God is so good. I just want to give you a little teeny update on ladies' weekend. I want to say camping, but there was nothing camping about that. We've got to rename that. There was nothing camping about that. It was a retreat, and it was a great time in the Lord, and we had some wonderful words. Jill spoke to us on worship, and I shared a bit on witnessing, and God spoke to us about warfare. Bev was able to be with us for some time, and to top it all off, we had a new birth. We had a baptism. We did have another new birth. My grandbaby waited till I got home, but we had a new spiritual birth, and that was great. So Lee's mum, Shireen, was baptised last Sunday, and it was such a great time. So I just wanted to share that. We were praying with you guys. I know you were back here praying for us, so we felt at one in the spirit, even though we weren't here with you in the flesh. I want to continue looking on at Ephesians this morning, and because I just can't get away from it. So I don't actually have a lot of notes. I've got a lot to say, and so I'm praying that God will make order of it for you and for me, that you will. I feel like he's just deposited so much in my heart in the book of Ephesians, and I just want to communicate that well with you, so I know that it's by his spirit that he'll do that this morning. It's hard for me to remember where we got up to because I've been sharing this with everybody who will give me any time of day lately, and I think when we were last together that we got up to the end of chapter 1 is where I think we were at. And I'll just do just a very quick, just overall again, Ephesians is broken up into two sections quite clearly, chapters 1 to 3 and then chapters 4 to 6. And I really encourage you to read the whole book all the way through. It won't take you very long. You need the whole picture together. But chapters 1 to 3 are all about worship. And really, I was so excited last weekend at ladies' camp. It's just hit me in a light bulb God moment as we were sitting, just sharing even. I think it was on the Saturday morning we were praying, and I thought, Ephesians is all about worship, witnessing, and warfare. God is so good the way he plans that. The first three chapters in particular, chapters 1 and 2 especially, are all about worship, who God is. Who he is, and the honour and the glory and the praise that he deserves from us. It's all about his purpose and his power. It's what we are saved by. And then chapters 4 to 6 are the practical application, or how we walk. how we live, how we warfare. So it's what we're saved for. So the beginning is what we're saved by. The end is what we're saved for. We are saved for something. Chapters 1 to 3, which we briefly touched on last time, have the words in Christ or united with Christ or because of Christ. So some phrase about being in Christ at least 26 times in 66 verses. That's once every 2.5 verses, if you want to average it out, that Paul reminds us that it's all about Christ. It's all about being in Christ, united with Christ. And I've been contemplating that and wanting to be able to get across to us myself this morning. I want God to just in my heart, put it in my heart so that it comes out of me. We're united with Christ in his death and in his resurrection. It's all about the cross. It's all about the cross. I've been crucified with Christ. I've been made alive with Christ. It's all about being united with Christ. Let's just have a read through because I do want us to turn to some other scriptures. So we're going to start at chapter 2. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us, used to live that way. This is where the playing field gets level. All of us. You, me, all of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and the inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sin, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us. God wants to be able to point to you. God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. We can't move on, church, to walking our walk, to witnessing, and we certainly, without a doubt, cannot move on to warfare until we have it firm and fixed and settled in our heart, in our life, that we are united with Christ. We have been crucified. Your old man is dead. And he doesn't come back to life. Do we have a walking out to do? Yes. We have some, but it's a choice. It's now become a choice. We, Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians all have a theme also in them about slavery. And when I was first considering that, I thought, well, really, that's not relevant to me. Slavery is not relevant today. But the Bible tells us that we are slaves. You are either going to be a slave to the enemy and a slave to sin, or we're a slave to God. We're called servants, and we are to serve. But being a slave to God is more than that. A servant can choose not to serve. A slave has no option. I want to be a slave to God. Where else would I go, God? What else would I do? We have been crucified. Let's have a look at Romans 6. If you can turn over, Romans 6. This has to be done in our mind and then come out of our lives. Romans 6, verse 1. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. I think in the New King James it says, God forbid. Of course not. How ridiculous, Paul is saying. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten? Have you forgotten, church? Have you forgotten? I want to remind you today. Have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, that's how we're united with Christ Jesus, in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. We are dead to sin. There's a word in the King James, the word reckoning. Our problem today is we have not reckoned ourselves to be dead. Us being dead is a done thing. It is done. But we're not living that way a lot of the time. We are still choosing to live by our own sinful desires and the lust of the flesh and what we want because we haven't reckoned ourselves to be dead. We haven't let that be true in our actions. Colossians 2:11. Paul, it's the same language. He just all over the place. It's the same. Colossians 2:11. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities and shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Satan has been disarmed in your life. Jesus did that. We need to reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ. Back to Ephesians, verse 11. I can hear you flipping all over the place, that's good. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews who were proud of their circumcision even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. That's a dangerous condition, church. When we came to Christ, he performed not a physical procedure, Colossians tells us, he performed a spiritual circumcision. He cut away the flesh. It has to not just be a mind thing, something that you know. You need to know it. We need to live it. We need to reckon ourselves dead to sin. Watchman Nee says this: do not give yourself to God unless you mean it. God will take you seriously, even if you didn't mean it seriously. We need to be careful about what we say to God. The vows we make to Him, the things that we say, God will take us seriously. And then Paul just goes on to explain how in the rest of that chapter, how people were living apart from Christ, the Gentiles, they were excluded. Verse 13, now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ, for Christ Himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people. He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the systems of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between the Jews and Gentiles by creating in Himself. I'm just seeing all these times I haven't noticed before when it's all about being in Jesus. In Himself, one new people from two groups, together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of His death on the cross, and our hostility towards each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from Him, and peace to the Jews who were near. He's covered it all. He's covered everybody. Any person, if you thought you were near and you weren't really near because it only affected your brain and not your heart, not your body, not your flesh. But if you were far away, He's brought you near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. We're no longer strangers. We're no longer foreigners. We are citizens. We are members of God's family. Together we are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus Himself. We are carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through Him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by His Holy Spirit. We have to get it. It's in Christ Jesus. We can't move on, church. We can't go. Read it. Ask God. That's why I prayed that prayer at the beginning for us. That's what Paul prayed at the beginning. I pray, God, that You will give us spiritual wisdom and insight, because it's only by revelation from God that we are dead to sin that we can understand it. Our brains can't understand it. Our actions sometimes would say to us, see, you're not dead. You're not dead, really. Look what you just did. Look what you just thought. Look what you just said. You're not dead. We are dead. Reckon ourselves dead to sin. We don't have to be a slave to sin. It's in Christ, and it's not even me telling you over and over again. It's not even you reading Ephesians 100 times a day. Oh, it's the Holy Spirit that is going to show you that and reveal that to you. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you, to reveal it to you, to give you wisdom, to be able to understand that you are dead and you have been raised to new life. And Paul goes on in verse chapter 3, and he says, when I think about all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles, and then I don't know if your Bible's got a couple of little dots after verse 1, but mine does, because Paul goes off track here. Well, not, he goes on to explain why he can say all this. So he starts chapter 3, when I think of all this, that it's through Christ, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles, assuming, by the way, that you know that God gave me this responsibility to tell you all this, and he goes on to explain that. Then I'm going to jump down to verse 14, because this is where he comes back to his original thought. He goes, okay, by the way, when I think of all this, do you get what I'm saying? He's just had a little diversion here where he's explaining why he can tell us all these things. And verse 14, when I think of all this, the fact that we are one people, we're dead to sin, we're alive unto Christ. I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources. He doesn't just say, I pray that he will empower you. He says, his glorious, unlimited. It's like he can't think of enough magnificent words to explain what God has for us. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will go down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should. Are you one of God's people? All of us, this is like a given that we should just understand. We are God's people. We should all understand how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Christ will make his home in your heart, and your roots will grow down into him and keep you strong. God, I want my roots to grow down into your love. Verse 20, and now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus and through all generations forever and ever. Amen. That's not the end, actually the beginning. That's the bridge. I've written a little note. I've drawn a picture of a little bridge in my Bible. That verse 20 is the bridge that leads us from what Christ, what he has done, who we are, united in him. Now, how are you going to respond to that? When we've got that foundation that we are in Christ, that our old man is dead, that we are not slaves to sin, that we are alive unto Christ, that has to affect the way we live. It has to affect the way I talk. It has to affect the way I pray. And it says, all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us. That's the bridge. It's his mighty power working in you. To accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. We can quote that scripture a lot. God, you can do infinitely more than I can imagine. And that is true. But who's he going to do it through? You. He's going to do it through you. It's his mighty power at work in you to accomplish more than you can even imagine. And so, like David, that word that we had from David Butler this morning that he brought, when we're waiting on the Lord, are we just sitting around waiting for him to do something? No, because he says it's my mighty power at work in you. And then chapters 4, 5 and 6 go on to tell us exactly what that looks like. If anyone ever says to you that there is no instruction book on life, you need to hand them a Bible. And open up to Ephesians chapter 4. Once you've established them in Christ, what does our mission statement at this church say? To win people to Christ, to establish them in Christ, help, to equip them and send them out. Something like that. It's in your newsletter. It's in your newsletter. Yeah, so we win them to Christ. We establish them in Christ. And then, and this is what we're to do, go out. Tim said last week in his message that Jesus cannot be our Saviour without being our Lord. The gospel message is a call to discipleship. That was what Tim said last week. Andrew Murray says, receiving the words of God from Christ and keeping them is the mark of a true disciple. You cannot have Ephesians chapters 1, 2 and 3 and then close the book and walk away and say, well, thank you, God. I'm okay. I'm in you. Everything's cool. I'm great. You can't do that. There's a bridge to chapter 4 that says, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you. I beg you. And I can almost hear God begging us through Paul, through this word. I beg you to live a life worthy of your calling. The New Living Bible that I'm reading from says to lead a life worthy of your calling. The New King James and the King James says to walk. Chapters 4, 5 and 6 are all about our walk. Chapter 4, verse 1, walk worthy of your calling. Chapter 4, verse 17, with the Lord's authority I say this, walk no longer as the Gentiles do. Chapter 5, verse 2, walk filled with love. Chapter 5, verse 15, so be careful how you walk. Now it gets practical. Now it gets to talking about it's just going to come out of you. When you're established in Christ, when you have been buried with him and raised to new life, this is what's going to come out of you. And then he goes on to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. It may not be titled fruit of the Spirit in your Bible, but this is what I read. Always be humble and gentle, patient with each other. Make allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourself together with peace. For there is... Now I want you to underline a new word. Before it was in Christ, now there's a new word. There is one body, one Spirit. Just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and in all and living through all. There is one. We, church, don't have to work at unity. We have unity because there is one Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that lives in you lives in me. And when we are out with other Christians who are not from Mombok Christian Fellowship, they might be from a different denomination, but if they have the Holy Spirit in them, we are united. One Father, one Lord, one Spirit. I've heard language in church about working towards unity. What we have to do is walk in the Spirit. There is one Spirit, one Lord, one glorious hope, one faith, one baptism, one God. There is one God. There is only one. There is only one. Verse 7. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. And that is why the scripture says, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Verse 11. Now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church and the body of Christ. This is the amazing thing about God. There is one God, one Spirit, who gives each one of us a gift, and we make up the body of Christ. This church, this is not in my notes, and I didn't intend to say this, but I'm going to say it. This church is not dependent on one person. This church is a body. Each one is important. Each one is valuable. And we will not be moved and we will not be shaken because our roots go down into God's love. They don't go down into a person. They don't go down into if everything is okay and everything looks okay. They go down into God and His love. And there is one God, one Spirit, one faith, one glorious hope, one baptism. And He's given each one of us. My job today is to be up here equipping you to go and do the work. So we each need to pick up whatever it is that God, I'm not going to tell you what that is. God will tell you what that is. What it is that God's asking you to do. Church, God is good. This will continue, verse 15, as we each pick up our work and do what it is that God's asked us to do. This will continue until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. There will be no longer be immature. Sorry, we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown around by every wind of doctrine. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. And it helps the other parts grow so the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. God's church today, God's body, doesn't matter what the media tells you. It doesn't matter what the world tells you. God's bride, God's church, His body is alive and well and healthy and growing and maturing and moving forward. And you are part of that, and I am part of that. And let's not forget that. Let's set our sights, let's set our eyes on the realities of heaven. And let's pray His kingdom come and His will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. I hope that you're encouraged today. I'm encouraged by the Word of God in Christ. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about me knowing that I have been crucified with Christ. I have been made alive. My question today to myself was, and I'm going to ask you that question, why aren't we living it? If I've been crucified with Christ, if I've been made alive with Christ, why aren't I living it? If this truth is only a head knowledge, then my life will have no power. My actions will not be the actions of someone who is dead to sin and alive to Christ. I'm going to go back to Ephesians 1 and I'm going to start again and I'm going to read it again and I'm going to pray for myself again. God, by your Holy Spirit, plant that so deep in, water that seed that you've started to grow in my life. Let's pray. Church, that's actually God. I pray that we would be a people who will wait on you, God. I pray that we would, as your word said, that we won't lie to ourselves. We won't be deceived, God, by all those high-sounding philosophies that are floating around out there in the world. God, we want to be people that our roots are down deep, deep into you. And the more that the world would come against that, our roots will just go deeper and it will make us stronger and more mature in you, Father God. I pray for each one of us, Lord, that whatever that gift that you've put in us, that we, if it's gone, if it's been dormant, if it's gone to sleep, or if we've purely just ignored it, that it will awaken in our hearts and it will burn in our hearts and that we will pick it up, that we won't bury in the sand that gift that you've given us and then present it to you on that last day and say, I kept it safe. We want to bring fruit to you, God. We want to bring glory. Your plan, you said in the beginning in Ephesians, your plan from the very beginning was that your church would bring glory to your name. And I pray that that would be reality in our lives, in this church, in Mombok Christian Fellowship, Father God. Be glorified, be exalted in our hearts, in this place, in our lives, in everything we do, in everything we say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombok Christian Fellowship.com.